Classic, the big Viking story of the day, huh?
Yeah, he is.
I mean, that's a heartfelt story because he contributed quite a bit. He was a pretty good football player, and then that.
Yeah, he was.
Really? He was really a good football player.
He's a pretty solid player.
He was a solid special teamer. I mean, people want to rip him for the play.
That's the only thing I remember of Brandon Bostic.
And that's
the problem,
right? And that's why the Vikings really have him in here, because he's a good special teams player. He's on all four special teams units right now with the Vikings. With the Packers, he played two full seasons essentially. Had two touchdowns with, you know, a couple tight ends above him, Andrew Corliss and Richard Rodgers last year. But that gaffe against Green Bay cost him his job on a really good football team in Green Bay. And he was almost like a virus to that team. They just got rid of him immediately because they didn't want the remnants of that NFC Championship game collapse. And now he's here in Minnesota trying to heal and try to recover his career.
I don't know that I really love the fact that the Minnesota Vikings went out and got him after what I saw him do to the most hated team in the NFC North, according to a Minnesota Vikings fan. But that play is basically for the Green Bay Packers what the 98 kick was for the Vikings, the interception, Brett Favre in the NFC Championship game. So let's just relive that one more time, because I forgot what it was all about.
Back pedals, 4-5 steps. He's 2 yards away. He accelerates. He bounces it on the turf. Oh, it was a leaping attempt by Bostic. Seattle's got the ball. Seattle's got the ball. The Seahawks have recovered. An onside kick right through the hands of Bostic, the Green Bay leaping tight end at the 50.
Brandon, okay. Sit there. You with Mike, yo. I would say that, you know, those kinds of plays come up all the time. Maybe not the onside kick. It doesn't come up very often. That can be why a guy misses a football. That is not an easy play to make. That ball comes, you know, it's hammered out of there, and it takes that pop that they want. You know, they kick the tip of the football, and it rolls tight, and then when it loses speed, it pops up. Okay, and you time it out, and you kick it out to where you know the play is going to be made. And you also, you try and put something on it, and then the people that are coming down to try and recover that kick, the first wave blows up anyone trying to recover it, and the second wave behind that are there and responsible to try and jump on the football, whatever's left of it.
My favorite part is he was on the hands team, right?
The good hands team.
Yeah, and so but he probably wasn't supposed to touch the ball at all, because if you look at the replays, I want to say Jordy Nelson was right behind him, waiting to just cradle the ball, secure the thing, and the Green Bay Packers are going to the Super Bowl. Thank God for Brandon Bostic. Yeah.
And Bostic admitted that. Boston did a really compelling first-person account on the website called the MMQB, where he wrote the account of that play and the aftermath of it. And he said when the ball came at him, he blanked. He forgot what he'd been taught. He was supposed to block the gunner. He was supposed to block Matthews. And instead, he goes up, and he becomes the image of defeat for Green Bay in that game. Just a laughable Bill Buckner scapegoat figure. And he says that the media ran with it. They turned him into the scapegoat. And deservedly or not, he was pinned for that loss. And here he is now in Minnesota trying to keep his career alive. And it's going to be tough to do even that with five tight ends vying for probably three spots on this Vikings roster. But to talk to Bostic, and I did yesterday at OTAs, he's moving forward, that's for sure. He has put it behind him. He doesn't really hold a grudge against Green Bay for cutting him so abruptly, which
they had no other choice.
Yeah, it was almost a PR move.
The rabid fans in Wisconsin, I mean, they wanted his head like the Chicago Cubs guy wanted the Bartman. I mean, there were death threats.
Yeah.
Brandon Bostic, it's a football game. Death threats. Yeah. It was the greatest last final 2 minutes of any game I've ever seen, the one in my life. Because the Packers were supposed to walk right into the Super Bowl if it wasn't for Bostic and a couple other things that they obviously screwed the pooch on in the last couple minutes there
Seattle. Did they ever? I mean, you've got to play that play. You've got to, you know, plan your work your plan, as Denny would say. But man, I'm telling you what, if you're on that first wave and you're a little bit gun shy of being shot down by the guys that are rushing in on you, let it go to the second level. You know it's already built in with the best of the best hands. And that's the easier ball is for the second guy, second layer.
Yeah.
Jordy Nelson. I think he's going to get it.
Yeah, probably. But my favorite part about your story, Sam Ekstrom, at 105theticket.com in Cole, Omaha, was that Ernest Biner, the Cleveland Browns, who had his own problems, obviously.
The fumble.
Reached out to Brandon Bostic.
Yeah.
Saying, hey, I've been through something similar. I know what it's like. If you have any problems or questions or whatever, emotional support, I'm here for you.
Yeah, Beiner went to the Packers organization after the fact when all this came out that Bostic was being vilified, that he was receiving all this criticism, death threats, as you mentioned. And Beiner got a hold of his cell phone number and just reached out and said, hey, you know, this is going to follow you for a long time. It's going to be a part of your legacy. So your goal now is to move forward and try to create a different legacy on top of that. You want to cover this up with a new Brandon Bostic. You want to use it as fuel for you to move forward and learn from it, because it's something that's always going to be there. You can't erase history, but you can work as hard as ever now to turn the tables.
I just want him to go in. I want him to make the roster. And then when we play Green Bay in Green Bay, I want him to score touchdowns. But there are, like you said, Sam, there are so many tight ends on this team, starting with Kyle Rudolph. Excuse me, Chase Ford. They just drafted Mykole Pruitt, who you guys had on your Cold Omaha show, yep. I think last week or a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I'm forgetting names.
Chase Ford, Red Ellison.
Yeah. They're pretty stacked at the tight end position. So what are the chances Brandon Bostic even makes the team?
Well, Rudolph is extended long term. Pruitt is a rookie, so he's got a rookie contract. They've got a lot invested in him, so he's probably a lock. Then you've got Chase Ford, Red Ellison, and Brandon Bostic. They're all free agents after this season. Now, Ford is more of a receiving tight end. He's got good hands. Rhett Ellison is a terrific blocker. He's versatile. He can play a little fullback, too. And then you've got Bostic, who's a special teamer, who's not necessarily as
good
as
at special teams like we saw in the Green Bay Packer game.
Well,
I want him on the Vikings special teams.
Maybe Prefer will start teaching the helmet method, you know, to catch the ball with your helmet like David Tyree.
There you go.
Yeah, Tyree would have been a good special teamer, huh?
Sure.
Yeah, just pinch the ball against your helmet and lay down with it. Great play. But that's what really happened, too.
Yeah.
And by the way, Ernest Beiner, I think he landed poetic justice as poetic justice would have it. He landed with the Washington Redskins and got a Super Bowl ring, too. So he did make good on his legacy. And I think he had a touchdown in that game, too. So, but Ernest Beiner, a classy guy. I've known him. I played with him in Cleveland. What do you have coming up on Sunday?
Sunday is going to be a big Peterson-centric show in light of today's events. That we're going to talk a lot about that. We're going to unveil our way too early 53-man Vikings roster with Luke Inman and see what the early projections look like. We'll also talk to Brandon Warren about the Red Hot Twins.
Nicely done. Sam Ekstrom, Cold Omaha, one of the writers there, also talking about the wake-up call on Sundays from 8 o'clock till 10. And Adrian Peterson, again, that's what we're going into, drops 58 spots in the latest top 100 players of 2015. Are we surprised with that or not? That's the debate. Next.
The next player's skills are so respected, he was voted onto the top 100 of 2015 after barely even playing last year.
Does Adrian Peterson make it this year?
How many games did he play?
I don't think it matters.
One.
Does he make it?
Heck yeah, he make it. The man can sit out for 2 years, he gonna make it. He got him in the top 100.
He's the best running back in the league, and it's hard to fill that void.
We try to fill it by committee, and we had great guys step up this year, Jerick McKinnon, Matt Asiata, but it's really hard to replace Adrian Peterson.
You don't replace no Adrian Peterson, man. I don't care how many running backs you say you got in that backfield. It's only one AP. Only one in the league. Only one in the world. I mean, he highlighting every Sunday. Nightmare. He's Jason. Freddy Krueger. Like, when you talk about the Minnesota Vikings with Adrian Peterson playing, we have to stop this guy. So regardless on what he did off the field, man, he's good for the team. You know, he gonna give your team a chance every game.
And that's what we've been talking about. I'd like to know who those players were. Do you know who they were?
NFL Network, yeah, Kyle Rudolph.
Okay, I heard one player referencing as a Viking, so I could tell.
Anderson Dejo, and the majority of them was, I believe, Ike Taylor.
Oh, big Ike from the Steelers. Yeah. He's retired now.
Yeah,
he's a monster. He is a monster.
Mike Taylor, his cornerback. For God's sake,
Ike Taylor.
How could you say Ike Taylor is a?
He said monster? He was a monster.
Adrian.
Ike said that Adrian Peterson was a monster. I agree. He is a monster, and it's a.
I think it was
it's a shame because we're having this conversation, and we've had them over and over and over again all week, and last week, and the week before, and months before that, is that, it's AP, it's our guy, it's our running back, and...
Are you surprised he was in the top 100 list?
You know what? It's amazing that they respect him so much that they keep him on the top 100 list.
He had, what, 60 or 80 yards in that first...
72?
In that first game against St. Louis, and didn't play a single down the rest of the season, still number 62. Let's go through the other couple of names here.
There are some... That is not surprising, I guess, to me.
The NFL Network, you love it. They're doing the top 100 players right now.
Yeah, it takes them all summer to do it.
Number 100. They're all need to at number 61. Number 100, Randall Cobb.
I'm surprised he's not a little higher on that list.
99, Calais Campbell.
He should be on that list.
98, Adam Vinatieri.
Amazing player.
He's like 65 years old.
And he's still kicking straight between the uprights.
97, Joe Flacco.
He should be higher. I mean, he's done some big things with his career already.
96, Jarrell Casey, Tennessee.
You bet.
Number 95, Emmanuel Sanders.
Big timer.
Number 94, C.J. Mosley.
Just a beast. Just a beast linebacker for the Ravens.
93, Jason Witten.
I think Jason Witten is probably one of the greatest tight ends that ever played this game.
But he's getting up there.
He's getting way up there. It would be hard to say that what he... I would have to look at the numbers. I mean, I know Dez Bryant had the year for the Cowboys and Murray. It didn't seem like Witten played that big a part to be on this list this year.
92, Aaron Donald.
Yes.
91, Julian Edelman.
Edelman's unbelievable.
90, Michael Bennett.
There's a monster.
Crazy.
Seattle.
He's crazy. He's the one that said he loves playing for Pete Carroll because he reminds him of Willy Wonka.
Yeah.
89, former Chicago Bear, Carolina Panther, Greg Olsen.
The people don't talk enough about him.
He's rotting in Carolina.
He is an unbelievable player. I don't know why the Bears got rid of him.
Number 88, Glover Quinn. Heck of a safety.
Unbelievable, yep.
For Detroit. 87, DeMarcus Ware.
That's enough said right there.
86, Eric Weddle.
I thought you said him already.
Nope.
For the San Diego Chargers, right?
Yep.
I think he's a great player.
Reminds me of Harrison Smith. He's a little bit older. He's having a bit of a contract dispute. There was a possibility that I was hoping maybe that the San Diego Chargers would trade him in a first-round draft pick for Adrian Peterson. That would have been a dream come true.
Great beard, though.
85, Golden Tate.
No, he shouldn't be on it.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't get it.
I know he had a good year last year. But he's
playing opposite Calvin Johnson, for God's sakes.
Yeah, I agree.
Number 84, Terrell Suggs.
Monster.
83, Marquise Pouncey.
Best center in the game.
82, Haloti Ngata.
He replaces a beast. I mean, Sue takes off, they get Ngata in there. They don't lose anything.
81, Darren Sproles.
Dynamic player.
80, Arian Foster.
I'm not that big on him. I don't know.
He had a couple of good years, but he's been riding that for the rest of his career.
I would say that, too. I agree with you completely, but it's... For him to be on this year's list, I don't know about that.
79, Marshall Yanda.
Yeah, the big offensive lineman. Yeah, he's
Baltimore.
A good player. Very good player.
78, Ryan Kerrigan.
Kerrigan's a stud for the Washington Redskins.
Racist,
from
you
Purdue.
Mean?
Yep. Yeah, you're right. And that's a great athlete there. I love Kerrigan, and he'll drop back out of in coverage and intercept a ball from time to time. He can do anything.
77, Matt Ryan.
Matty Ice.
76, Sendarek Marks. One of my favorite.
I don't know if I know him.
Defensive tackle for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Love him. Like him a lot.
Yep.
75, Mike Evans.
Yes.
74, Muhammad Wilkerson.
Yes.
73, Cam Newton.
I don't know about that one either.
Cam Newton said the other day, he said, there is nobody in the NFL that has what I have.
Okay. All right. Well, to say that, now I know he doesn't belong in this list.
72, Kyle Williams. Big fat dude for Buffalo.
Oh, defensive lineman.
Yeah.
Oh, God, he's great.
71, Julius Peppers.
The interception that he returned when he started putting distance. He started putting distance on the people that he was running away from at 36 or whatever he is. That is a freak.
70, Tamba Ali. I thought he should have been higher.
He's great.
He's a man beast.
Yeah, he is.
69, Bobby Wagner, who a lot of people compare Eric Kendricks to.
Yep.
Linebacker for Seattle.
Very good.
68, Larry Fitzgerald.
I people love him. They respect him. Obviously, that's why he's on this list. I don't know if is he in the top 100? Yeah, he is. Of course, he is.
67, Tashawn Gibson, safety, Cleveland.
Very good player. That defensive secondary and that defense for Cleveland, pretty damn good defense. And he's one of the guys.
66, DeAndre Levy.
Mm.
Detroit.
Oh, linebacker?
I believe so.
Great player.
65, Justin Forsett.
Love him. I can't believe that he's on that list already, but they respect him that much in replacement of Ray Rice.
64, Charles Woodson.
I don't know about, people.
Living on legacy.
They know.
Living on legacy. The guy's so
those
old.
Those are voted on by the players, man.
63, Jerry Hughes, linebacker, Buffalo.
Very good.
62, Adrian Peterson.
He's actually the best running back that has come down the pike since Barry Sanders.
61, Jeremy Maclin, and that's where they stop for right now. Any more Vikings are going to be on the top 100 list, do you think, through the rest of the summer via NFL Network?
Ugh.
Harrison Smith?
No.
Xavier Rhodes?
No. Greenway? No. Although he has been on that list, I'll bet. Barr might have a chance. He might have a chance. Yeah.
But really, there's a fat chance for any of the other Minnesota Vikings.
Sullivan's a good player. He's a very good player.
I don't see them putting centers necessarily as the greatest players.
I don't see him being ranked ahead of Pouncey, so I guess he's not going to be on the list because Pouncey is regarded as the best center.
I don't think there are any more Vikings on this list.
I don't either. I don't think
one
so.
Viking on the top 100 list is Adrian Peterson.
That's pretty good
62.
To get on that damn list. I'll say that much. Come on back. We have plenty to get to. Oh, my gosh. I mean, wow. How are the Twins winning?
I'll tell you.
We'll tell you all what Ben knows about that and a little bit about my leg kick, too, next. Well, we're gonna find out just exactly how the Twins are doing this. What is this? They're winning. They are winning. They're not only winning, they're tied for the lead right now in the AFC. I love that.
AL Central.
So, I mean, here's what I like. I like the fact that no one thought they were going to do that after Santana. The wind was going to go out of the pillowcase.
That's the talk of media nationally and locally today is that the Twins, what they're doing right now is not going to last. I'm going to run down a couple of stats for you, and I want you to tell me, because I wonder, yeah. I love watching them. They're that exciting Twins team again that doesn't have that one star. It's almost like the Piranhas were
finally the team.
Doug Minkiewicz is leading the way. Corey Koski, Michael Kadire, Torrey Hunter when they were really young, back in the day.
Yeah.
So some of these, they rank 20th in on-base percentage out of all the teams in Major League Baseball, yep. 20th. That's not very good.
No.
17th in slugging percentage. They've never been a team that's hit a lot of home runs or a lot of extra bases. I mean, they single, 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 run, run, run.
Yeah.
They just chip away.
Well, when Tomei was here, Mel Tomei.
Yeah, he was good.
Tomei knocked a lot of them out of the ballpark.
So that's on offense. The Twins are 16th in ERA, 21st in opponents on base plus slugging percentage. And true to the reputation, last in strikeouts. This team has never been a high strikeout team when it comes to pitching. They've never been a very powerful team when it comes to batting. That's almost three-quarters of a strikeout per game behind 29th place Colorado. They just don't strike people out. So what are they doing? They're 9-6 in one-run games. They're winning close games. They're 3-1 in extra innings games. And they've converted 19 of 22 save opportunities. Tied for the second highest percentage in baseball. The little things. The Twins have scored the 9th most runs in baseball and allowed the 14th fewest runs. You're going to win a lot of ball games if you score more runs than your opponents.
Yep. It's a collective. It just adds up to a team effort where a lot of things are working quite well. To overcompensate the bad things that are happening is we do a little better than the bad. It's more than a whitewash.
But baseball writers are laughing at Twins fans right now going, you guys are celebrating this first place tied here with the Kansas City Royals in the AL Central. Yeah, it's not going to last long.
It's the AFC, isn't it?
Yeah. It's not going to last long because the Twins are supposed to be horrible. Baseball Prospectus had us finishing, second to worst team in the Major League Baseball, one ahead of the Philadelphia Phillies. Now, adjusting it, they have the Twins finishing 81-81, which is interesting.
That's pretty good.
But when you look at some of the players that are having good years, like Mike Pelfrey, who would have thought? They originally
he was
gave
down.
The fifth starting spot to Tommy Malone. They moved him to the bullpen. He had a hissy fit. He's probably not going to maintain what he's doing.
Well.
But Phil Hughes, should have a better year than he's actually having.
Right. And, and look what's happening to him. We would all think that that would have been a done deal. Signed, sealed, new money, done. We got that figured out. We don't have to worry about that anymore. We do.
So you think that that would probably even itself out? Because I'm trying to predict the future here as to see where the Twins are going to go.
Yep.
Trevor May, hopefully, will continue to improve. He hasn't been that great.
I agree.
Cal Gibson's been pretty good. He's finally
good.
Come to the opportunity here. Ricky Nolasco, 5-1 with a monster ERA, though.
Yeah, and it's amazing. That's because we hit a lot of we're hitting the ball all over the place and scoring a ton of runs too. So there's support.
Most people don't think Trevor Plouffe is going to be able to continue what he's doing right now, but at the same time, Joe Mauer probably isn't having a great. He's betting around 275, I want to say. So that would probably equal it out if Trevor Plouffe comes down a little bit. Joe Mauer comes up a little bit.
Slides up.
Danny Santana is not going to have the year he had last year, which was unbelievable. Same with Kenny Vargas. They sent Kenny Vargas down already. But he's better than he's been playing for the first 2 months of the season. So he should get some help at the shortstop on offense position there. Eddie Rosario, continued improvement. Love that guy. He looks like the Kenny Vargas of this year.
Agreed. I like the people that we're beating and sweeping. We're winning a lot of these series. Every time we do, our confidence goes up, and I think we're going to continue to play as if though that's what we are, that's who we are. And we heard Mike Berardino talk about the younger guys that are still probably going to be brought up sometime this year.
Paul Molitor isn't bunting as much as Ron Gardenhier bunted last year. He's being more aggressive on the base paths.
I think you'll continue to see that. I don't think he'll ever change his mentality of the way you attack the game.
I love how this team is taking on the persona of Paul Molitor.
Yeah, I am too, and it's working. I don't know what happened the first week or so.
It's aggressive. It's balls to the walls baseball.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
They're picking up ball bats.
They're picking up some damn ball bats and going out there.
They're running the ball bases.
Pounding the damn ball all over the place. But I agree. I think that it'll whitewash if they come up or back a little bit. It's a long, long season. It's a marathon. Who told me that? One of the pitchers that we had here a long time ago. But it is a marathon, and Torrey Hunter says it all the time too. But I will say this: I'm surprised with the ones that are doing well. But there's enough season that's already been played for me that I think that's kind of who they are at this point. It changes. And sometimes it changes where the whole team goes cold. Both the offensive, the hits and the pitching leaves at the same time. It's amazing how teams go cold. And that's the fascinating thing about baseball, is that when they all come together and they figure something out, after we started 1-6, we just jumped on this winning thing. And we're all just sitting back going, wait, what the hell is this? So Santana comes back. You might see Buxton. Who knows? Snow, who knows?
Snow's ripping it up right now down in Chattanooga.
Yeah.
And just ripping it
Alex
up.
Alex Meyer. We've heard about all those guys that are still down that could come up this year. I think they're going to be fine. And 81 probably seems pretty realistic to me.
I'd be ecstatic with that finish.
I would too. But we're going to come back and we're going to talk. It's Mike's break.
Oh, no.
It's Mike's break. So we're going to come back and talk some more Adrian Peterson stuff and some Viking stuff. I got a couple of other things that I want to bring up about the defense. We were talking about Harrison Smith. Well, we're going to continue to talk a little more of that Viking defense next. I have no idea who this is.
I don't either.
I'm guessing it's Explosion in the Sky from Friday Night Lights.
Uh-oh.
Nope, it's not. I still don't know who it is. What did you put on?
None of your business.
Anyway, it's Mike's break, and we don't know what this is. But I can tell you that the whole idea behind this team getting better quicker is the simple fact that they went out and picked up that cornerback that makes it a double. It's a bookend situation now. Having two cornerbacks, not shutdowns, just good, solid play out of cornerbacks that we haven't seen around here for a while.
But they could be shutdown cornerbacks.
They could be, though, and I think they both will be the way it's going.
I mean, Xavier
Harrison
could
Smith
be
and another safety. Yeah. I mean, it could, the next year, Xavier and Trey Waynes. I mean, that could be the real deal. And we mentioned Harrison Smith. He's up and coming. He's the kind of safety that will be on that top 100 list someday. He will be one of those players. He's not on it yet, we don't think.
Do you think
maybe he is
not on it yet because of the fact that he's kind of dirty?
You know what? He is. He comes up and hits, and quite frankly, he'll lead with the top of his helmet and kind of spear away. And you can't do that. You really can't. But you know, he's had to learn the hard way. They've fined him several times, Harrison Smith. And he's a great player. He'll pick off a football from time to time. He's a great ball hawk back there. And he will house it.
Yeah. Every time he touches the football.
Hi.
I think he's a good player. I love the fact they brought Chad Greenway back and got him redone. I like the fact that they went and got Kendrick. That puts him with Barr, his old, not only his teammate, but his roommate at UCLA. But that, along with a guy like Greenway, that's just going to bring it along that much faster. Mm. D-line, we've said enough about the D-line. I mean, I don't know about Daniel Hunter.
Daniil.
Is it Daniil?
Daniil Hunter.
Okay.
Not
I'll learn,
Danielle.
I'll learn him.
Is that a girl?
No, he doesn't look like it. He doesn't look like a girl. I just think it's going to be a great defense. And I know that we don't have a lot of people on that top 100 list, but when you brought up the name Harrison Smith, I'm not so sure he won't be on that list soon. I think he will be. But we've got a whole crop of really good-looking young players, and Pruitt, the new tight end, that's another one. They claim that he's like one of the most impressive guys to watch run and run routes and all that other stuff.
He runs what, really, a 4.5 or something like that? He's going to be a defensive matchup nightmare. If he can just catch the ball...
That gives us a double tight end set, hopefully.
Because we've had fast players here in the Minnesota Vikings before, and there have been fast players in the NFL that are great on the offense, but then they get the ball thrown to them, and then they can't catch it. That's kind of a bummer. It's a buzzkill when that happens.
No question. And the Peterson thing. Get back on the field, because if he steps back out there, we just talked about the whole defense, almost every guy playing on that defense. Mm-hmm. And so going back to the other side of the ball and sort of wrapping this thing up today, if he comes out there and plays football, and he is your running back, and you go Asiata after that and McKinnon after that for the backup, that offense is going to be... That gives Teddy Bridgewater and Norv Turner a lot of different things they can do with Adrian back there. We just heard some of the reaction of some of the players that voted him into the top 100. We know what they think of him. That is the case. That's who he is. That's what he really is when he's on the field.
That is if Jerick McKinnon can come back from his back surgery.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, back surgery is a big deal, especially when you're pounding guts like Jerick McKinnon running backs do in the NFL.
No question. And, I mean, the kid loves the weight room. We talked to him last year after we drafted him. Actually, before we drafted him. And he loves the weight room. And so I don't even
you
know what he
did. You talked to Jerick McKinnon before the Vikings drafted him?
No, it was after the draft.
Yeah, I was going to say. How would we have known?
Mm-hmm. We wouldn't have.
A quarterback from Georgia Southern. How would we have had any idea he would have been drafted in the third round to play running back for the Minnesota Vikings?
We wouldn't have.
Heck of an athlete. A bit of a surprise, though, for me at the third round. I love him to death. I thought it was a great pick, but one of those under-the-radar guys.
Yeah, I think he definitely is. A lot of people think that he's the real deal. I don't know. I think it's a little too soon to say that one. But hopefully he can come back off that back injury and surgery. Brian Murphy said when he spoke with him out in California with that Teddy Bridgewater, Kyle Rudolph group, that he looked good and that he said he was ready. He was ready to go. And I have to think that the way that kid works and works out, that he'll probably be back, you know. And I'm not too sure that he couldn't give. I don't know. I like Banyard though too.
You've always loved Banyard.
Banyard, I think, is the better running back. I think that McKinnon is more of a quarterback trying to play at a different position, trying to play running back, and just he's close, but he's not quite there.
Just an update on the Adrian Peterson Twitter rant earlier today that we opened up the show with. He had a 43-minute Twitter rant. And according to our guy Chris Thomason from the Pioneer Press, source close to Adrian Peterson on today's tweets, quote, he's arguing for guaranteed contracts. He's not attacking the Vikings.
Well, I mean, if you're... you may not be attacking the Vikings, but this is with the Vikings. So, I mean, he's not calling him names, no, but he is talking big money with the Vikings, and we don't know what those terms are that he's trying to get. But when you go, you sit out of OTAs and maybe even mini camps, and you go to the team that you play for and you start renegotiating something that's already been signed for, that's... No, I mean, he's not ripping on him.
But now's not the time to argue about guaranteed contracts for the NFL. You do that during the collective bargaining agreement, not a lockout or anything like that, but when you and he had a chance to do that.
I think
a couple years ago.
Yeah, he did. And I here's what I think. I think that Ben Dogger has told him, I know you had to give $4 million of that money back from last year because he got docked the money.
Yeah.
We'll make it back up. I will go back with these next 2 years in this contract, and I'll get that back. Watch me. And I don't know what he thought of. I don't know what he was thinking of when he thought that he could get more guaranteed money. Out of these next 2 years, it's enormous money. I think that's enough to pay any running back.
I mean, he's smart enough to see the writing on the wall that the Vikings aren't going to pay him $16 million next year and 18 or whatever it is the year after that.
He just wants to know where he's going to finish his career and if those 2 years count for real on paper. He wants those two numbers to stick. Whatever.
And I don't blame him.
15 and, you know, a high $16 million on the last year of the contract.
I don't blame him for wanting that.
Well, I don't blame him either. I mean, who wouldn't
But look
want?
Where he has done.
And where
and take the $8 million you were paid for free last year for doing jack squat and count that as your guaranteed money, as your bonus. Set that aside a little bit. And that can be your guaranteed money in the new contract that you're hypothetically wanting.
That's what he's trying to get back. He's trying to make back something.
Oh.
And he has to make a lot of money. Peterson has to make a lot of money. He's got a lot of obligations. Lots of obligations all over the countryside. But anyway, we are going to take a break. Are we ready to take a break yet?
Sure.
Let's do that, and we'll come back and finish up the show with some silly side of sports and a true superstar next. Silly guy. Silly sports. Looking at some of his team stats from last year with the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, we only had 1,800 yards rushing. So we can't really go out and tell Adrian, we can do this without you. Because the year before that, we had 2,700 yards. Yeah.
They can do it without him. It's just going to, like Kyle Rudolph said in the NFL Network piece of Adrian Peterson being number 62 out of the top 100 NFL players, they did it by committee. Not only in the backfield, but by everybody else. Everybody's got to pick up the slack.
Yeah, I guess so. We'll see how it goes. Sillier side of sports.
Yeah. You ready for this?
Yes.
J.J. Watt. I'm pretty excited about this HBO Hard Knocks deal. I wasn't yesterday because I'm thinking Houston Texans. Let's see here. Who's on the Houston Texans that I care about at all? J.J. Watt. That's about it. J.J. Watt, though, has been out promoting this HBO Hard Knocks deal, but not himself. Ben Jones. You know who Ben Jones is?
I want to say he's a linebacker.
He's been the Texans center since 2012, and you know how nutty you and your offensive lineman friends are.
Yeah, that's bad news there. Centers are smart.
According to Watt, Ben Jones will be the star of the weekly series. Jones, according to Watt, is going to shine because of his penchant for eating roaches, among other things.
That's offensive lineman. That's how they do things.
Former Georgia quarterback Aaron Murray has stories to tell about Jones' antics. Said the Auburn game. I mean, he must have played with him together in Georgia. Aaron Murray says the Auburn game. I think it was my freshman year. He came into the huddle and handed me three pieces of dreads. Murray said, "Quote: He ripped off the middle linebacker's dreads from Auburn. He handed it to me." And I'm like, what do you want me to do with these? We're in the middle of a huddle, trying to call some plays. Aaron, got some dreads for you, he said. He stuck it in his pants, then he went home and he tied them to the ceiling fan, so you have to pull the dreads to turn the fan on, so that's probably the most disgusting thing that Aaron Murray could recall about this Ben Jones guy, who sounds like an awesome dude. And one of the reasons why I can't wait to watch HBO's
Hard Knocks. That could be pretty good. They got some renegades on that team. Any offensive lineman, though. I mean, the king of gross. They don't like the fancy stuff necessarily. They like to dress down. Obviously, they'd rather drive a pickup truck than anything else. And they like to raise a little hell.
Yeah.
They have a little mean streak in them.
Mm-hmm.
But that and defensive linemen are kind of exactly opposite.
John Wall and his crew kicked off a flight after a passenger was threatened today. Washington Wizards star point guard John Wall kicked off an American Airlines flight in Las Vegas after another passenger reported being threatened. Wall was on a flight headed back to D.C. Never made it into the air after someone and his crew got into a verbal altercation with another passenger. Threats were exchanged. Vegas police were called. Victim didn't press any charges, but the pilot didn't feel safe with Wall on the flight, so he was kicked off.
What the hell could he have done?
I don't know.
For the pilot not to have felt safe with him on the plane.
You know what's funny? I had a friend. We were going to a wedding. A friend of ours was getting married in Los Angeles, and a bunch of friends from Minneapolis were flying. We went to college together at the U. Hadn't seen this one friend for a long time, but this one friend is he's a bit of a booze hound. Bit of a crazy guy, right? So we get to the airport. We're flying Sun Country, I want to say. So we're at the Humphrey Terminal. And we get there, and a couple of us went together, and he was there before for some reason. And he was absolutely schnookered. Just bombed.
Is he smashed?
Bombed. Gets on the plane and starts arguing, just hammered. Starts arguing with the flight attendants.
Monster trucks?
No monster trucks.
Normally when I get drunk, or like some of these people get drunk, they talk monster trucks.
Yeah, I know they do. He starts arguing because I think they wanted him to put his overhead thing somewhere else, or there wasn't enough room. And he was hammered, so he starts arguing. They go get the pilot.
Good idea.
And he's in the wedding that's like in a couple of days. I'm like, dude, just sit down. And I'm covering my face going,
oh my God.
I barely know this guy.
What was the overhead? Like a keg?
I don't remember. No,
probably
it was a keg. It was something stupid.
God.
Tim Tebow's been eating pretty good. Eagles quarterback Tim Tebow says he's now 250 pounds.
He's a big one.
And mentioned how appreciative he's now he is about being back in the game after being out of the game. He's a quarterback, though, Chip Kelly said Thursday. So we're looking at Timmy. We're not looking at him at any other position. So a 250-pound quarterback.
Dante was 270.
Oh, that's Dante, though. This is Tim Tebow.
Dante used to pray a little bit.
Dante.
I would, you know, I mean, the quarterbacks are getting bigger and bigger all the time. I mean, I think Flacco, someone like Flacco is like 240. Like Ben Roethlisberger is, geez, I want to say he's pretty close to 270.
But Tim Tebow's not that big. I mean, he's not that tall, you know what I mean?
Yeah. He's put together. I mean, the guy is a workout freak. He likes to work out.
Cowboys running back Joseph Randle said DeMarco Murray left a lot of meat on the bone during his 1,800-plus yard season last year. And when told that, DeMarco Murray said this, quote, hopefully he can taste some of that meat this year. They're a good team. Hopefully he can get a chance to run behind that line and do some good things. But I'm worried about it. I didn't hear about it until now. It's not that big of a deal.
Who said it again? Who said that?
Joseph Randle, the Cowboys running back, the no-name running back who's supposed to take over DeMarco Murray.
Left a lot of meat on the bone. If you can find anything on that bone, you let us all know.
I don't think he left any meat on the bone.
1,800-plus yards.
DeMarco Murray.
And a broken hand. He was rushing with a broken hand there at the end of the season.
Took care of some bid nets.
Yeah, he was.
A guy named Therese Owens posted three pictures online, allegedly of Cowboys owner Jerry Jones with some gorgeous young ladies. Jerry Jones.
Boy.
We've seen him with pictures of, you know, some, well, not so, I mean, the guy's married.
I didn't know that. I didn't think he was.
Yeah. He's still married. He has his wedding ring on in these pictures. If it is him. Looks an awful lot like him. They're giving him lap dances.
On the cowboy bus?
Well, they were before. This isn't on the cowboy bus. I mean, he has his hands all over these two women who appear to be giving him a lap dance, if it is indeed Jerry Jones. I mean, dirtbag, you're still married.
Pig boy. That's what Jerry Jones is, pig boy now. I mean, that's what he's been known for. I don't know. Yeah. Hey, look. He's probably worth a couple $1 billion. He feels like maybe he's entitled.
A dirt
some pig. Of those guys have got some real egos, man.
Oh, and Jerry Jones, God. I mean, his face. Just look at his face.
Yeah, he looks kind of like the Crypt Keeper now.
The New York Jets made it their offseason mission to surround Geno Smith with as many weapons as possible, and new number one wide receiver Brandon Marshall is making it his duty to develop some good chemistry with the young quarterback to help accelerate the chemistry. Between he and Smith, Marshall decided to move in with Geno Smith in New Jersey.
See, that's perfect. That way they can get to know each other and bond. Brandon quarterback, Marshall's, wide receiver.
He's a nutbag.
No, he is.
They've been living together for the past month. Marshall said he and Smith first met a few years ago. They bonded. The duo got together in South Florida shortly after the trade in March to work out, and they've been living together happily ever since.
Get after it, man. Just like moving in for training camp early, you know. I mean, get to know the guy. I'm Brandon Marshall. I watched a feature on him. Quite a life. I mean, quite a life. He's been mixed up, and he's found ways to take care of himself, and good for him. because he struggled with mental illnesses. Mm-hmm. And I mean, he has fought diligently to get himself right and make himself at least that person that can go out and be functional and play football still. And he's done that. And he's donated, I think when he signed the new deal, he donated $1 million that day when he signed the contract.
Really? He's an interesting character.
He is. I mean, it was super an amazing piece. It was an incredible thing that I think it was on NFL Network. It was a fascinating piece on Brandon Marshall. Incredible guy. He's a dedicated person. He moved into where he was going to take the therapy and lived there for 30 days and took therapy every day, all day.
Oh.
So he's a pretty incredible player, too. We have a true superstar, don't we?
Would you like to do a true superstar?
I think it's about that time.
Okay. Heck of a day today with the Adrian Peterson situation. Obviously, we'll be all over that. And story continues. Red Hot Twins tomorrow will be down at the office. Washington and 3rd just down the street, like literally a block and a half, one of those city blocks away from Gate 3 at Target Field. Free parking in the back, great drink specials from Coors Light, unbelievable food. Sable will be there. You'll be there. I'll be there. 41 will be there.
You never really say that much about me.
Who doesn't?
You don't.
I always do. I always say, join the superstar Mike Morris and
well,
me.
I mean, well, the way you say things about Sable.
Well,
you don't...
Sable's the nicest woman of all time.
Okay.
Don't you think?
I think she's great.
Yeah, me too.
But, you just don't make enough of a big deal out of me. I'd like for that to change.
Okay, I'll try.
Okay, I'm just kidding. We do have a true superstar. Army Staff Sergeant Robert E. Thomas Jr. Is my true superstar. 24 years of age from Fontana, California, assigned to the 1st Battalion, 36th Infantry Regiment, 1st Brigade Combat Team, Fort Bliss, Texas. Died September 13 at Brook Army Medical Center in San Antonio. Wounds suffered in an explosion on April 21st in Maywand, Afghanistan. Remember him, please, if you would. Just 24 years of age. Army Staff Sergeant Robert E. Thomas Jr. is my true superstar. And, if you'd pray for me, you'd be doing us all a great favor. Good night.